Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Are you a single parent? Or do you know someone who is a single parent? Well, you know, I have been a single parent myself, and so many of my friends have been too. Tell me, would you like to learn more about how you can navigate single parenting and make it an adventure? Have you ever wanted to know more about kids, chores, discipline, driving, etc., etc., etc.? Can you imagine dealing with teens who are dealing with sex, sexting, drugs, driving, and alcohol? That's what's happening these days. Tell me, do you know what you need to know about kids turning 18? That's when they become adults, so to speak. Have you ever heard about a book called Adventures in Single Parenting? Or better yet, now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to enjoy the adventure of being a single parent? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, inspirational, and informative lessons and some really, really great advice about single parenting. I'm also pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.7 million listeners to date, and LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. He grew up in Pittsburgh and went to college at the University of Pittsburgh. He trained as an electronics engineer and was working at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory in Livermore, California, when his two children came to live with him. They were in early grade school. His children lived with him for 14 years. He quit his job and began working from home. During that time, he developed the skills necessary to provide the time, freedom, and lifestyle he wanted for himself and his two children. He is a published author and internet and network marketer. His book is called The Adventures in Single Parenting, is the story of the journey he took with his two wonderful children. My guest characterizes Adventures in Single Parenting as the book he wishes he could have read before the children came to live with him. It is full of good practical advice, written with subtle humor, but dives into the very important topics relevant to all parents, especially single parents. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Len Mooney. Hi, Len. How are you?
Hello, January. I am marvelous. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. You know, I was a single parent myself wow, I don't even want to say how many years. However, at that time, my children were very small. I had my one daughter was 3 years old, and the other one was a newborn. So my single parenting experience is probably a lot different than yours, having children come to live with you when they're in grade school. What an amazing story you're here to share. Let's start out first with sharing a little bit of your story, your personal story. You were raised in Pittsburgh. Who were your early mentors, and what were some of the things that you had to struggle with as a child?
Well, interestingly enough, I was raised in a single-parent household myself. My mother and father were divorced before I was born, and I grew up with basically my mother and her mother. So I grew up in a household devoid of, to some extent, devoid of male influence. Now, my mother did remarry when I was 5 years old, but because of other personal circumstances between my mother and her mother, that gentleman never really became a father figure to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never met my real father till I was 23.
Oh my gosh!
But that left me with a determination when I ended up having children that I wanted to have things be different for my children than they were for me. So
sure.
That sort of sets the stage.
Mhm. Mhm. How old? Let's back up. And who were your early mentors, and who were the people you admired when you were a child?
Well, I think the earliest, the best mentor I had was my grandmother. She was the one that I always went to for advice and followed her lead in what to do. And she was the one that sort of protected me from the rest of the negativity around me.
You know, that's so true for so many people. You know, when people ask me the same question, I always answer, I was lucky enough to have two grandmothers that totally influenced me, and basically they were the ones who gave me my sense of self-esteem. And it sounds like that was your experience too, wasn't it?
Well, it was. Unfortunately, and sadly enough, my mother, as I said, she was divorced from my father before I was born, and she took a lot of that out on me in the early years.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I reminded her of her.
Oh. Yeah. Right.
And so I had to run to my grandmother for protection.
Mm-hmm. How old were you, Len, when you got married yourself?
23, I believe. 23.
Okay, 23. And how long were you married for?
We were, I think, about 4 years before we separated. But in those intervening years, both of the children were born.
Okay. And so you had a son and a daughter?
That's correct, a son and a daughter.
Okay. So then after 4 years, you separated. And then how many years before they came to live with you?
Well, that's an interesting question, because there was never any period of time when they weren't with me a lot of the time. They spent almost all their weekends, much of their vacations, school vacations, and many of the holidays with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always lived close to them. But
but
again, they came to live with me in early grade school, I think first and third grade. And they were just starting into grade school. And at that period of time, their mother decided she was going to get married, and she was going to move to the other side of the country with her new husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on a, I don't know how to say this, because it wasn't my mission to involve the children in anything like a custody fight, which ultimately did happen. But
yeah.
my mission was to keep them stabilized.
Uh-huh.
And through what was a very difficult period of life.
Sure.
With their mother moving across the country.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't want to go.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to step up to the plate, and it would have been very traumatic to see your children move across the country, because that meant you would hardly see them at all, wouldn't it?
Well, that's right. And it also would have meant that a fair amount of care that they were getting from me would have been very difficult to maintain. So I wanted to keep them with me. I wanted to provide a home for them. And so we went and we bought a small three-bedroom house, and I moved them in. And they had their own bedrooms, and we got them reestablished in school and got everything working for them as best as I could.
Had they been away, and had you had to go through a custody thing to get them to back with you?
Well, the custody thing happened after their mother returned from Georgia. And I guess I hadn't quite been prepared to go into this, but maybe I'll go into it a little bit. It was a very traumatic period. But
sure.
When their mother, after she married this new gentleman and moved to Georgia, she called, it was maybe 6 or 7 months later, she called and said, well, it wasn't working out and she was going to move back. And and my son looked at me and he said, Dad, it's too soon. I don't want to move again. We just got here.
Oh, that sounds such a familiar thing for children. They want everything to stay the same.
Right.
And so your book is about single parenting, but it's not specifically for single dads, is it? It's for single everyone.
Well, let me tell you, when I started to write the book, I first thought it was going to be about single fathering. I thought it was going to be a book specifically targeted to single dads. And the more I wrote, the more I thought about all the experiences I had, and the more I discussed it with peers, with other people that were single parents, and in particular women, I realized that there's very, very little distinction between a single mother and a single father.
Right.
A single parent is both mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
And sometimes they take on the mommy role. Sometimes they take on the daddy role. And sometimes they take on both roles merged together. But they are really a single parent. And so I came to realize that the book didn't change its character. It just simply changed its title. Because it's applicable. And in fact, the reality is there's a lot of stuff in the book that are applicable to any parent, single, married, or otherwise. If you're dealing with teens in drugs or alcohol or driving, it's applicable to any parent.
You know, when you look back on this, I know your children are grown now, but what do you feel are some of the biggest challenges that single parents face today as we speak?
Well, I think there are three huge challenges in a single parent household, and not necessarily in order of priority. They are financial, time, and support. Many times, when a couple separates, salaries separate. So many two parent households have two incomes. And in the United States, the median income of a two parent household is fairly high. So when one parent leaves, one of the incomes leaves. And unfortunately, and I know, you know, about 85% of the time, the children stay with the mother, and that's a good thing. The mothers are very good parents, and children should be with them in many cases. But unfortunately, in our society, women still make less than men in many cases. So we have the financial issues of one salary was gone. The salary left behind, assuming the mother was working, is less than half of what the original income in the household was. And the number of people in the house has only gone down by one person. The expenses haven't gone down in proportion. So many single parent households are left with a very, very difficult financial situation.
Oh, I can imagine. And this is so true, because nowadays, everyone, in most families, it's a two income situation. And to lose one of those incomes and to also have to try to make up the gap, it's quite challenging. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host today. And when we come back with Len Mooney, we're going to talk about the issues of time as a challenge dealing as a single parent and support. We'll be right back with Len Mooney.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? people who fearlessly shared their stories, people who have priceless personalities. I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities: Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today.
Welcome back with a new priceless personality on our show, Len Mooney, who is the author of Adventures in Single Parenting. Before we took the break, Len, we were talking about the challenges that all single parents face. We discussed finance. Now, share with me your thoughts about the time challenge. How can you be there for your kids if you have to go to work?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult, and especially very difficult for people, and I'm going to say in particular women, because I think that, again, 85% of the single-parent households are run by women.
Mm-hmm.
Women that have the kind of job where they're supposed to be there from 8 to 5 or 9 to 5, and the boss doesn't want them late. He expects them there on time, and calling your boss and telling them that your baby just vomited all over you in the front seat of the car on your way to the daycare center doesn't work real well.
Yeah, right.
So, and even if the job and the boss are flexible, it's hard enough for a couple to fit into their life everything they need to take care of to run a household with children. With a single parent, it is virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to cut corners. You have to prioritize. And, you know, maybe you were a woman who, or a man who really wanted the house to be spick and span and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it isn't spick and span and clean because you don't have time for that.
No. it forces you into the reality of the world. And I love the fact that you called it adventures. How did you come up with calling it adventures?
Well, you know, I suspected you might ask that question. First off, I'm going to say that life is an adventure.
Uh-huh.
But Wikipedia defines adventure as an exciting or unusual experience. It may be bold, it may be risky, it may have an uncertain outcome. And I think single parenting falls squarely into that category.
Well, that's a fantastic definition. Now I can see why you chose that word. You know,
can I tell you one other secret that very few people know?
Yes.
One of my all-time favorite movies when the kids were growing up was Adventures in Babysitting. So that's the other reason.
Okay. Well, I never have seen that movie, but I love the fact that you have that great definition for your book. We're talking about the time and cutting corners. Now, you eventually decided to work at home. How did you come to that decision? And I bet it was a difficult adjustment, wasn't it?
Well, it really was. And the reality was, when the kids came to live with me, I was working a sort of middle management, project management type job at Lawrence Radiation Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And I simply absolutely couldn't be there for the kids and do the job.
Yeah.
I had no choice. And so the decision I had to make was either be there for the kids or give up the job. And so I chose to give up the job.
Wow. Okay.
And it was a bold move at the time, but I did, in fact, go to work for another company, but I went to work in a direct sales environment where I could have my office in my home, and I was responsible for selling products for this company, but I could arrange my schedule so that I could be there for the most part when the kids were there, and arrange my visiting with customers and other things during the hours that the kids were in school. So that's how I started into the work-at-home environment.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, this is happening more and more. You cannot believe the number of people that I interview on the show who are working at home. And the reason is exactly the same reason you've given, is they want to spend more time with their children. And it seems to be a great solution. But I would imagine it would be a difficult thing to do. Let me ask you about the other challenges, and that would be a support. What kind of a support system did you have, and what kind of a support system do you recommend other people make sure they put in place?
Well, the support system I had was pretty poor to non-existent, to be really honest with you. The closest living relative I had was 2,000 miles away. I had neighbors who were willing to pitch in and help. And I had a myriad of friends that I had grown up with or had been around for some time, and several of them were single parents themselves, people that I knew from working at the laboratory and et cetera. So those were my support group. Now, what I would say today, I mean, things really have changed to a great extent, and I am monitoring several single-parent support groups on the Internet, on Facebook, for example. There's so many different support groups, et cetera, out there that people can use today to just ask questions. Hey, what do you think about this? Or this is how I feel about something. What do you think?
Okay.
And, of course, there's also people like me that maintain blogs and you can send any comments and questions. And, I mean, I will respond to anybody who sends me a comment, a question, or an email, or wants to know what I think about something.
Okay. Yeah, there is a lot of that, of people reaching out. I know we've talked about a lot of people who've connected on LinkedIn for their work experience, and I'm sure that the groups on Facebook and to finding blogs would be fairly easy. You would just need to just go and blog on blogs for single parents, and I'm sure a million of them will pop up.
Right.
Now, what do you... your children are now grown. How old are they now?
They're in their 40s.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So then, and then you wrote this book how long ago?
Well, I wrote, while they were living with me, I maintained a journal, and I kept a lot of notes. And then after they were adults, I wrote the book. And now it's in its second edition. We've just published the second edition. It went live, actually went live in the last couple of days, and it's updated.
Oh, wonderful.
So, the thing I do want to say is that while some of my experience is dated, the book itself is not. It's updated. And, things don't change. The name of the drugs of choice may have changed over the last 10 or 15 years, but the fact that teens get into them hasn't changed.
That's for sure. So, yeah. What are some of the biggest differences you see for people out there having to raise their children now versus the years when you and I raised our children? One of the big things I see out there all the time is every time I look at my grandchildren, they're all sexting and using their telephones to communicate. And it's funny, if you try to call up anyone, they won't answer the phone. But if you sext them, they answer you in 2 seconds. I mean, text them, not sex.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you really meant that.
No, I meant to say text, not sex.
because sexting is certainly out there, and it's certainly one of the things that's very different these days. My kids didn't have cell phones growing up, so that mode of communication wasn't available to them. So I think the thing today that really is different, and I see it with my grandchildren and et cetera, is the availability of the Internet and the availability of instant communications and all of the smartphones. I mean, every kid has his face buried in a smartphone. Go ahead.
I was just going to say technology has just changed the playing field, hasn't it, for parents and for kids?
Well, it has. And it's changed the playing field in some really insidious ways. For example, you mentioned sexting, but there's this whole new, relatively new area of sexploitation. And you know, if you send your daughter to her bedroom, you'd like to think she's safe.
Right.
But she's not. Mm-hmm. And you know, cyber prowlers can, people who are much smarter about this technology than I am, can turn on webcams remotely.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And there have been some instances of that recently. I don't know if you've followed any of that or not. I think you had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, the lady who was the author of 411,
mm-hmm,
who
mm-hmm.
mentioned some of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've had a lot of shows about the bullying that goes on with kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what a difficult thing that is. I think it's much more difficult to raise kids now than when we did. Don't you agree?
Well, for these specific areas, I would agree. Absolutely.
Mhm. Yeah, these are big challenges, especially with teenagers, with all the technology that's available and all the people who are out there trying to reach them and influence them. Let's change the topic and tell us a little bit about some of the aspects of dating as a single parent. Yes.
How many minutes do we have till the next break?
We just actually, you know what? Quite frankly, Len, we're at the next break. So guess
okay.
what?
Can we hold that question? I'd like to tell you a story.
Okay, we will hold that, and we will be right back with Len Mooney after we hear from a sponsor, and he's going to share a dating story with us for single parents. We'll be right back.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with Len Mooney. And Len, before we discuss dating, let's share with our listeners your website information, your blog information, and tell them how they can get your book.
Well, my website is singleparenting.us. And simply by going to singleparenting.us, and you can start that with www up front if you want, or HTTP, however you like to put in the address. It'll take you directly to my website and to my blog. And I put up on the front page yesterday, I put up a link to the second edition of the book. So it'll take you right there.
Okay. And is your book at Amazon?
The book is up on Amazon. It's on the CreateSpace bookstore. It's at Amazon, and it's on Kindle.
Okay.
And the first edition of the book is out in Barnes & Noble and many of the other bookstores. The second edition just went live a couple days ago, so it'll take it a little longer to get there. So I would say Amazon, Kindle, or the CreateSpace bookstore.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago did you write the first edition of your book?
So the first edition was probably 5 or 6 years ago that I actually finished writing it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about dating. did you date, and how did that work out for you? And what advice do you have about dating and exposing your children to your romantic interests?
The first comment I'd like to make is the Brady Bunch works well on TV. I'm not sure it works well in real life.
Okay.
But
that's good.
I'd like to tell you a little story, and then and I'd like to come back to the question of dating. But so I had met this woman that I really liked, and I just I was just very attracted to her, and I think she was attracted to me. In fact, I'm quite sure she was. Mm-hmm. And she had a son who was approximately the age of my son. So I decided that I was going to invite her out with the kids to go to dinner. And so, and I thought, well, a pizza place would be a good place to go. We take the kids to a place that has games where you can just bring a roll of quarters, send the kids to play games, and you can have a date, and everybody gets to know each other. And we're about halfway through this date, this dinner, when my daughter walks up to the lady and says, "Are you going to sleep with my daddy tonight?"
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Now, I did not put her up to that. And it just took me totally by surprise. So anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything. But look, here's my take on dating. And I will tell you that during the years the kids lived with me, I did very little of it. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, it's hard enough to date as an adult to find somebody you're compatible with that you can have fun with and go out with. Mm-hmm. Now you throw kids into the mix, and it's almost impossible. You know, you're not necessarily going to like her kids. She's not necessarily going to like your kids. If you like her kids and she likes your kids, her kids are not going to like your kids. One of the kids isn't going to like the other kid. There's always going to be issues. And then if you try to pack it into a package and live together, her kid watches television at a different time than your kid does. Your kid does homework at a different time than her kid does. Your kid doesn't like her cooking. Her kid doesn't like your cooking. And it goes on and on and on. And it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. But the stress of trying to put together those kinds of relationships, to me, simply wasn't worth it. So I did very, very little of it during those years.
Now, how about after your kids left home and went off to college? Let me ask this other question. Have you been involved in any singles groups? Because so many people I meet nowadays, you'll say, "How did you meet?" And the next thing you know, they're telling you about meeting each other on eHarmony and internet dating. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it certainly beats going to the bar.
Okay.
So I think some of the dating sites, and I will tell you that I met a really, really nice lady on Match.com a few years back, and we had a very nice relationship for a couple of years. I think that the internet dating sites can go a long way toward helping you screen somebody and know before you meet them that at least you have some things in common with each other.
Right, yeah, that seems to be a sign of the times that everyone's meeting. And, you know, the thing about it is you can screen them, and then actually I think everyone suggests if you go to meet them, you go for coffee so you don't have a big commitment. keep it sweet and simple, right?
Well, I personally don't do coffee. But
okay.
I mean, I'll tell you what the problem is. The challenge is that if you meet somebody on one of the online dating sites and you take them out and we're going to meet at Starbucks, it almost becomes an interview. It's so stiff and formal. It's very difficult to find out what each other is like in that environment. So I still prefer to go do something. Let's go to the zoo. Let's go to a movie. Let's go do something besides sit over a cup of coffee and see if we can't get to know each other a little bit.
Yeah. Have you ever come close to thinking about remarrying?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I didn't tell you the whole story. I left a piece of it off. The lady that I mentioned earlier that my daughter asked her if she was going to sleep with me that night, we actually did end up married many years later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she is now deceased. She succumbed to breast cancer several years ago.
Well, that's an interesting story, especially for your daughter to say something outrageous. And I love the fact that you eventually married her and things worked out. That is a very sweet story, and thank you for sharing that. let's change the topic a little bit, and let's talk about being financially stressed when you're a single parent. What advice do you give to people who are going through this?
Well, there are several things. Let's talk for just a moment about child support.
Oh, yes.
Because a large number of women, I forget the statistics, but they're in my book. The statistics aren't so important as the facts. A large number of women in particular aren't getting their full child support payment or any of their child support, for that matter. And I have talked to women that have the attitude that, well, I don't want to pursue child support because if I pursue child support, then he's going to want to have visitation, and I don't want to deal with that. And it sort of gets to be an ugly mess. But the reality is that child support is there to help the children. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage women to rethink that and to think about getting the child support that they deserve from the child's mm-hmm. father. Because, you know, parenting a child is a two-person event. And it's 20 years to life. And, and you know, some people have told me that's a negative outlook, but it's not negative. It is a full-time commitment for 20 years, at least.
Yes.
And you just can't get out of it, walk away from it, and, well, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's not fair to the child.
You can divorce people, but it's very difficult to divorce a child and walk out on them. So the child support, you advocate that women be aggressive about it and go after it.
I do. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I was just making notes on that, and I think that's good advice. And it's a difficult thing to do, though, I think, sometimes for some women, isn't it?
It is. It is very difficult, and especially if the partner has been not a very nice person, and there's a lot of negativity involved.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, I suppose it's hard for me to imagine that there are men out there that can't be good fathers, but maybe there are. And I think that it's really too bad, because they're missing out on a lot and not being involved in their children's lives.
That's for sure. Now, what about when children turn 18? That's we've kind of skipped through the teenage years. And
let me stay with the financial question for just a moment, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
No.
Because the other thing that I would say is that there are tons and tons and tons of ways to make money from home. And in many cases, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. It can be just a little bit. A few hundred dollars a month can go a long ways toward solving a lot of problems. So I advise, and obviously in a couple minutes on a radio show, we're not going to go into how to make money from home.
Right.
But my first piece of advice to someone is to sit down and take stock of what it is they like to do and what their skills are, and try to figure out a way to turn it into a little bit of money. And there are lots of ways to do that, as you know. So I'll just end that right there, unless you want to pursue it further.
No, well, you know, I think that's a great suggestion. And there are so many, you know, the wonderful thing about our world today with the internet and the access we have, there are so many resources for people to go and to pursue that. And I'm sure you deal with it in your book, and people could contact you through your blog, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And would you repeat how they can find your blog?
Well, the website is singleparenting.us.
Okay. Wonderful. And if you have any questions about pursuing working from home, you can go to Len's blog and put it out there, and he will respond to you. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from a sponsor. And when we come back, we are going to talk about what you do when your child turns 18. Well, for most women, their child support stops, so that's a big event. And also the part where children want to leave home and you have the empty nest to deal with. We'll be right back with Len Mooney.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym. on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Welcome back with my guest, Len Mooney, the author of Adventures in Single Parenting. We're going to talk about what success means to Len today as we speak, if he has any regrets and advice. But first I wanted to ask him about his advice for when your child turns 18. Big milestone, isn't it?
So can I tell you a short little story?
You sure can.
About the time my daughter was, I think she was about 15 or 16, we were having a disagreement, and she was bawling her eyes out, screaming at me at the top of her lungs, stomping her feet, saying, "I can't wait to turn 18 so I can move out." On the night before her 18th birthday, she was sitting at the table, kitchen table, bawling her eyes out. This time there was no screaming or yelling. Uh-huh. I just asked her, "What's wrong?" She says, "I'm not ready to be 18. And that's the reality. That's the reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children are not ready to, in our society is way too complicated. It's children are not ready at 18 to move out of the house and take on the world. It's too expensive. They don't have the finances. At best, if the parents can afford it, maybe they're ready to go to college or to do other things. In fact, I've devoted a chapter in the new second edition of the book to education. What to do with your children? What do we tell our children these days?
Yeah.
About how to survive financially in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You also have fantastic chapters about cooking for the clan, tax records, and of course, education. You also deal with teens, sex, alcohol, drugs, driving. There's so many chores, discipline. You really have covered the whole spectrum. And I really recommend this book for anyone out there who is a single parent and dealing with this situation. What do you say to them, Len, when they say, "Why should I read your book? Why should I listen to you?"
Well, I have a lot of things to say along those lines, but I suppose the most important thing is the book is written from the heart. It's truly the experience of someone who's been down the road and has seen all the things that can happen, good and many of the things that can happen, good and bad. Mm-hmm. But the book is also backed up with a lot of factual research. So there's nothing in there that you can't take to the bank in terms of the facts that are presented. And let me just give you one example. Your kid's clamoring at you for a driver's license. Read my chapter on is your kid ready to drive? And if at the end of that chapter you think your kid's ready to drive, let them.
Yeah.
If you're not so sure, I have some recommendations for you. Mm-hmm. And in the chapter on sexting, I have recommendations for monitoring cell phone use. So
I think a lot of
stuff that people can relate to, and no matter what the topic is, I have some suggestions for you. I've been there, and you're going to go through it.
You've walked the walk, so you actually have earned the right to talk the talk or write the book, so to speak. And it's filled with advice that I think a lot of people, it's a very confusing time when you're raising children and trying to do it right. And there's so many distractions, so many, especially, for all parents, but especially for single parents. Before we end our segment tonight, Len, could you share with my listeners what success means to you today, now, and do you have any regrets or advice for us?
Well, I think I have to define success in parenting as getting your child ready to go out in the world and survive on their own and contribute to society. And, you know, the classic picture of the eagle kicking the eaglet out of the nest.
Yes.
And you, Mama Eagle kicks the eagle out of the nest, and she swoops down underneath them to pick them up and carry them back up again until she does it one time and they actually fly.
Right.
And I think, to me, that's success.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Regrets. Yeah, I do have regrets, and I'm pretty frank in the book about, especially about things like alcohol, drugs, and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a drinking family,
uh-huh.
So I sort of considered it to be the norm, and I didn't take it very seriously when I sort of noticed that my kids were beginning to get into that stuff in the beginning. It's like, oh well, they're mm-hmm. just having a beer or something.
Yeah,
and
everyone does it.
I wish I could go back and change that. And I'm going to say something here that's going to be terribly controversial, and that is the other thing that I would reset is my trust level for the kids as they got older. And what I mean by that is I had a doctor telling me one time he thought my daughter was doing drugs, and my daughter insisted that she wasn't with the statement that, Dad, you can trust me, I'm your daughter. And mm-hmm. my comment back then was, yes, I trust you. My comment today would be, yes, I trust you, but pee in the little jar here anyhow.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And okay.
Very good.
She had gotten herself into some stuff because she actually has narcolepsy and she was trying to self-medicate. And
uh-huh.
we could have helped her a lot more if we had caught it a lot sooner.
For sure.
I talk a lot about that in the book, too. So.
Well, I think that is. Thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of parents are dealing with alcohol, drugs, their kids driving, and you want to trust your children, and it's your instinct to trust your children. But if someone comes to you and shares something that is of concern, I think that's a pretty big red flag. Don't you agree, Lynn?
Absolutely. And, you know, when our child's 2 years old and we're standing on the sidewalk, we're about to cross a busy street, we want to trust our child, but we take our child's hand anyhow.
Okay,
and
good.
We have to remember that as a teenager, our job is to keep our children alive. That is our primary mission in life, is to get them through those years and keep them alive. And that may be a harsh statement for some people to listen to, but it really is true. The death rate amongst teenagers is way too high.
Yeah. From driving, drugs, you name it.
Alcohol, you name it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Your advice is timely, and I really appreciate you for sharing it. I'm so happy you could come on the show and share our book with your book with our listeners, and your website and your wonderful blog. Now, be sure, if you are listening and have any questions, Len is there, and all you need to do is blog him and he will respond. Would you give that blog address again, please, Len?
Yes, it is. It's single parenting, one word, single parenting, parenting.us. And if anyone wants to know why .us and not .com, it's because .com was taken. I couldn't
okay.
get it. You know.
Okay.
So you can also Google me. Len Mooney. I'm not the black musician in Chicago.
No.
I'm the white guy. I'm the white guy in California.
Yeah,
and of course, I'm on Facebook.
I found that out when I Googled you. You know, thank you so much, and I hope you will come back. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Len Mooney about single parenting. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop whining and then start smiling. and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Len Mooney. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
I guess we're not wearing a uniform, I have a shirt.